just what we think they do?
I think that the way all these things are hyped is nobody actually really watches them, but the media just wants us to think that
it is.
Everyone is.
It is one of those things like...
Like Survivor. Who do you know watches Survivor anymore? And that show's been on like 9 years.
That's just my wife.
And the answer to anything that's about... Look, I got it. The answer to any reality television question is Lara. That is... Doesn't...
I'm sorry. The correct answer is Lara.
Reality television... It doesn't make my mind. It's like reality about stuff she doesn't even care about. What's this? Well, it's the story of a guy who works in a sewer. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever. If there's like a jiggly camera work and at the end somebody, you know, gets sent away.
Learns a lesson.
At the end somebody is mean to somebody else, you know, and then they play like a Green Day song going into the break. Like, she'll watch it. It doesn't matter what it is. And that's because she's a child of the real world. It's because she was like 18, 19, 20 when the real world debuted. And so she's just permanently brainwashed into
that. I thought you meant in general she's a child of the real world.
She's a child of the school of hard knocks.
She's from the street.
No. She likes Scotty J's. And he said peeps. You heard Scotty J earlier say that he and his peeps.
My sympathy for him from last week is out the window.
Yeah. So, Scotty J will be here tomorrow, of course, with another exciting installment of Scotty J's Man of the Streets. We've been unable to locate the MySpace profiles of either Osmond daughter, especially the one of the younger, was it Rachel Osmond, who apparently is a self-described slut and whore, and who wishes to have sex with David Bowie.
Yeah.
One imagines it's repeated and athletic sex. It's 503. I'm just saying, that's my speculation. She's an Osmond. She's got lots of spunk. She's got lots of energy. It's 503-733.
I thought you were going from David Bowie's perspective.
No, what? I don't understand. It's 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Now, we were just... My only observation is this. Because we were talking during the break about... There was all this clashing earlier on about this... The fact that Tim and I, that two-thirds of the Rick Emerson Show watched American Idol last night, and one-third of the Rick Emerson Show did not. And I noted that I hated doing it, and it was pure torment, and it was like my soul was being set on fire, it would have been so much easier for me to lie, to come in here and go, no, baby, it's like when you say, did you sleep with that barmaid? And you go, no, honey, I didn't sleep with no barmaid. I don't know what you're talking about, but I did the manly thing. I admitted to watching it last night. Didn't enjoy it. But I did watch it.
Rick, and I'm not mad at you.
You're just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed.
Yes, I know. I
thought I knew you better than that.
But we were running down the list of things earlier, and it's the I just don't get it list, because I will note that even after 2 hours of watching it, I felt unmoved. Like, at no point last night while watching it did I go, here's what it came down to is, how do I put this? I don't understand why I don't like it. Do you know what I mean? In other words, I'm not saying it's a great show, but I'm trying to put my finger on... Because I watch all kinds of crap. I'm trying to put my finger on exactly why it is that the show is so repellent to me. And I do think it's because that they're largely talentless people, or at least no more than talented in a mediocre sense.
You are lulled by mediocrity.
all the way
from the top down.
When you have these huge proclamations about shows like Arrested Development being taken off the air, and then you support this crap... That's just going to keep going season after season after season, and it's never going to stop. And
right.
You're watching that stuff, you know, while the good stuff gets taken off the air.
My dad was my favorite Martian.
Whatever happened to my mother, the car? But we were talking about during the break, about stuff that we all feel like we should have watched and have not, because I noted that I in my life have never seen an episode of CSI. I have never once, and it's not like I actively avoided it. It's not like I went, everybody's watching CSI. Therefore, I will never watch CSI. Same thing with Desperate Housewives. It wasn't like, oh, it's a popular show. I must therefore never, ever, ever see it. But Sarah was making the point that you believe that a lot of these things aren't actually watched by most people, that it's all just a scam to make us believe that people watch them.
I think so, because everyone wants to feel like they're a part of something bigger. And if you keep getting told repeatedly over and over again, this is the best new series. Like, I know a lot of people who talk about Desperate Housewives who don't even really like the show, but yet it's this huge phenomenon that everyone's writing articles about.
And everybody wants to be part of the phenomenon.
But yeah, and a lot of
it's
people watch it.
It's an evangelistic experience.
I have to tell you, though, I don't know a single... Here's a good example, musically. I don't know a single person that has ever bought a Jennifer Lopez CD, ever. And, you know, she supposedly sold, like, 40 million records. I don't know anyone anyone anywhere that has ever bought one of her records. Not one. I don't know anybody that's ever bought a Celine Dion record. Mm-hmm. She's another one. She's supposedly moved like 55 million units. So there
I believe this is all paper listing. It goes into the payola, an injury corporation.
Yeah, isn't she in the payola dispute right now?
Not with Jennifer Lopez.
Not with CBS Radio.
I believe it was Intercom.
At no time does CBS Radio accept promotional payment or consideration for the placement of any record.
They don't even have that format over here.
I wouldn't know anything about that. Anyway. It's 503-733-2970. Jen Lane is coming up from Barfly Magazine, and we got the top five songs most likely to get stuck in your head. I think, right, which has fallen into this whole, I think the topic of the day is the I just don't get it topic. Anyway, hi, Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
It's Bruce.
Hey, Bruce, how can I help you today?
I actually was wanting to correct you on the driving situation, but can we get back to that? You've got me so riled up on some of this other stuff here.
What driving situation?
What you were talking to Gary Baumgarten about with the hybrid cars, we'll address that first.
Okay.
You've gotten a little confused, and I think you've conflated two different things there. One, the business where they track how far you drive,
right,
and then charge you on that.
No.
That's in Oregon, but it's a strictly, at this point, voluntary situation. And if you don't drive very much, it's a great deal because they don't charge you gas tax.
Yeah, let me tell you about another group of people that at first were in a voluntary situation, Bruce. They were called Jews.
Well, it's like I said, it's an experiment. I don't really think it's a good idea because I like to drive long distances, but they're doing it. It's strictly an experimental program.
That which is voluntary and experimental becomes obligatory.
Explain how it works so you won't be quite so upset about it because you would actually benefit from it.
It's from my own perspective. Protection.
Well, given how little you drive, I would think you'd benefit from it. You have to buy your gas from one of a couple of gas stations and then they don't charge you the gas tax. So the gas is like 50 cents less a gallon.
All right.
But then they track the number of miles you drive and instead charge you so much a mile.
All right.
And the idea was to see, you know, whether that, you know, how that impacts the state revenue. So, you know, to take your choice. In your case, I know for a fact you don't drive a whole lot. You'd probably benefit from this thing.
All right. Okay.
And they don't install like a GPS that actually sees where you're going. They just, you know, all modern cars actually track the miles driven in them anyway. And so there's just a thing that they plug in your car and they can read how many miles you've driven since the last time they plugged the thing in.
All right. What have I gotten you all riled up about?
Well, I was more Sarah. This whole notion that, well, not that many people are watching American Idol. It must be phony. You know, Nielsen has people meters. I mean, they're actually hooked up to people's TVs. You know, whether the people are actually paying attention, I guess we could argue about. But, you know, the figures are accurate, guys. I mean, I hate to admit it. You just don't happen to know everybody in the country. And there's folks out there who watch this junk. What are you going to say?
So it really is us. So we really are just outcasts.
You just really are kind of out of the mainstream, I'm afraid to say.
No, and I got to say, this is, as I said, this is why I tuned in last night. Because I figured everybody in the country's watching it. Everybody's talking about it. And I'm sitting there on the sofa. And I tried. I watched it for 2 hours. I didn't skip past anything except the most horribly, orally offensive of the songs, and I tried to like American Idol,
But you have to bear in mind something, Rick. I mean, I'm not a fan of American Idol. I've only watched the show once or twice myself.
Right.
But the thing about American Idol that I've already discovered from the few times I've watched it is you can't tune into that last show and decide to make any judgment on it, because that last show is admittedly that's one of the few times I've watched the show. I watched the last show, and it's terrible. Because, of course, the contest is all over. It's like even with Survivor. The one reality show you should watch is Survivor. It is still by far the best. It is quite a good show. But if you tune in just to the last show, it tends to be kind of boring. Because the interesting part of American Idol, like Survivor, like any reality show, is all of the, you know, winnowing down as it goes along and all of the politics and so on involved and the interplay between the different people. And in the case of American Idol, it's all the interplay between the judges and the singers. And on that last show, you don't get any of that. You're already down to the last two people. In fact, the winner's already been picked. And the judges don't do any more judging because all the judging's already been done. So, you know, the most interesting part of American Idol is the first 3 weeks when they have all the William Hung types
right
on there, and they're all horrible. And Simon says, "Oh, you're a god, you're the worst thing we've ever heard." Yeah. And then
see, if they just had a whole show of just those guys.
Well, yeah, that actually does tend to get some of the biggest ratings of the whole year is the first 3 or 4 weeks because it's so funny because Paula will tell them all that they you really could be the next whatever, and this is some guy who can't even carry a tune.
It sounds to me like you have more than a passing familiarity with this program.
Well, I try to be up on my pop culture, but no, the weeks and then that last show. And I admit, if you watch the final show this season.
Wait, is this Scott, Sarah? Is that it? Okay, hold on. It's Scott?
No, this is John.
John?
Yeah.
What do you got, brother?
This last guy, your last guy on there.
This is Bruce.
This is Nielsen, determining what people watch.
Oh, did Bruce hang up?
I guess so.
Oh, we lost him. Oh, okay.
Oh, too bad.
Okay.
Hey.
What was your point going to be?
Well, the point is that Nielsen samples about what maybe 1% of the viewers in America, okay, and extrapolates from that what 30 million people watch.
It is also true, by the way, that the television ratings are based upon, really, this has to be said, just the dumbest and stupidest people in America.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No kidding. Like the people who watch American Idol.
It's true. All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right. No. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Well, hi. It's Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. How can I? Oh, wait. Hold on. Do we have the...
We do.
Hold on. Let me go ahead and roll the... we're without Scotty J today, so I'm just... We're taking him cold. Yes, we're all poor for it. How can I help you?
Well, of course, I'm calling in to weigh in on the whole American Idol.
Okay. I'm just saying... I've talked about politics on the show. We've talked about guns on the show. We've talked about clubbing baby seals on the show.
Nothing causes as much upset as talking about American Idol.
I mentioned like 12:02. Here we are, 2:15. Sarah's about ready to punch me in the face. Bruce calls up having an aneurysm. So what do you got?
You know, I do have an admission that I need to get out right away.
Uh-huh.
I loathe the whole American Idol concept, but
and yet?
Tuesday nights just happens to be my laundry night.
Okay.
And these very good friends of mine started inviting me over for the, to do my laundry because, I have these crummy machines in my apartment complex. And
right.
So they're like, come over, do your laundry for free. But the payoff is that I have to watch whatever they're watching, which is usually American Idol on Tuesday night.
Right.
So I have seen many of the shows this season. If I'm not there, I don't watch it. But the thing that drives me crazy is, I kind of consider myself a musician. I mean, I went to music school, and it's kind of like overlooked by the fact that I now work in an accounting office.
Right.
But the most frustrating thing is that these no-talent schlubs who just might be marketable to some stupid public, it just makes you crazy because there are actually really hugely talented people who also deserve like this kind of exposure and this kind of it just makes you crazy.
Bonus points for use of Yiddish, by the way, for being able to work in schlub there. the worst part about any of these reality shows is that, look, and I've talked about this before, that we here on the Rick Emerson Show realize that we are not real celebrities in any way. We're not actually famous. We're not the, it's that people who don't work in radio, they go, oh, that radio, that's a glamorous industry. Like, we know better. I know that
I think the thing about TV, and I'm sure Sarah can tell us as well, that, TV is the furthest thing from glamorous.
Well, and wouldn't you agree, Sarah Dillon? Well, I mean, I know that I'm like one rung above like a guy at the strip club who is telling you that like lap dances are three for a dollar or whatever. But the problem is the people on reality programs, they have, you can tell by looking into their dead stupid fish eyes on television that they are not aware that they're not real celebrities either. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, no, and that's what bothers me. That guy talking about his fans. Whenever they talk about their fans,
well,
it's so obnoxious.
Was it that Fantasia girl last year?
She was like
the idiot single mother that got on the air and was like a single mother, and I guess on the one hand you could get a job, or on the other hand you could try to become a reality TV contestant.
Yeah. Well,
and I suppose it worked out for her, but I remember hearing that through a lot of hard work, read being randomly picked. It's kind of like that Powerball hard work that she did. So
the guy that you should keep an eye on though from this season is just the most cringe-inducing thing you've ever seen. Is that guy Chris Daughtry?
This whole conversation is giving me agita. Chris Daughtry, that guy can sing. He's the guy who sang Innuendo, that Queen song.
He's got that.
I don't even care about the goddamn show, and we're arguing about whether Chris Daughtry can sing.
Maybe you're thinking of Roger Daughtry.
Die. I want to die.
It's all completely terrible and awful, and we should all just.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Kristen. All right, there you go. By the way, this is said for satirical purposes in light of yesterday's disturbing call from the suicidal guy. I wish I was dead. This whole conversation is making me want to kill myself. Not really. So, there you go. I can feel, like, my heart beginning to tense up and this pain in my left arm.
You know, you made the best point is that it's gone. It's not coming back for months. This is the last day. We'll talk about it.
No. Duets is coming.
No.
Okay, but here's the other thing. No, while we're talking about it.
I'm not allowed to watch that.
What?
Duets?
Isn't that movie with Huey Lewis?
No.
And Gwyneth Paltrow?
This is a brand new series with Simon.
I like the woman who hates American Idol watched a karaoke film starring Huey Lewis.
I love karaoke.
If you love karaoke, you should love American Idol.
I don't.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense, but.
It's like
I don't like what American Idol stands
that's about
for. Karaoke is
what does it stand?
Fun.
I don't like what American Idol stands for.
I don't like it.
Like it's okay.
We discussed this for 2 hours.
Here's
I'm
the
not
other. Okay,
repeat myself.
But here's the other thing. At the risk of becoming all Andy Rooney on you here, do you remember when? Do you remember when a television season was a year? You know what I mean?
39 episodes.
Yeah, but it was like 1 year. Like next year, season two. Next year, season three. Year after that, season four. Does anybody have any idea of when a season starts and stops anymore? Do you ever see like those shows that have been on for a year and a half and they're in their 12th season? The whole thing is just goddamn confusing to me. It violates all my senses of space and time and order.
Yeah.
So, all right. This is what a stroke feels like. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Hello. Going once. Going twice.
Turn that radio up.
He'd rather listen to
hello, Schenectady. Hello? You're up? What's your question? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What's your question?
Is this Rick? No, so, first of all, karaoke and American Idol are completely, completely different. In the sense that once they start making a show where people will sit, get completely hammered, and get up and make a complete jag off of themselves, then, watch that.
Right.
Yeah, they should let them drink.
You have no excuse for saying that, you know, I was completely horrified by it the whole time.
Right.
It's like blowing up kids and saying, it was horrible. I didn't mean to.
Yes, American Idol's exactly like blowing up children. It's exactly
you know,
like...
I look at American Idol, it's kind of like the NBA for fat people.
If they had a whole show that was just the William Hungs, whatever happened to that show on the WB that was going to... No, seriously,
whatever happened again.
It's not like it can never use the phrase.
The WB is going away.
I was not doing it. Whatever happened. No, literally, what happened to that show that was going to be on American Idol that was just retarded kids? We got the videotape of it. The WB
What is that show Sarah watching?
The WB gave
it's
us...
not Life Goes On.
Now, listen to me now. The WB, when Richard Nunn was there, sent us a promo VHS tape for a reality show that was a talent show for retarded kids. We talked about it. It was called Superstar, I think. I swear, I have the tape at my house.
That's what I got.
No.
I'm not mad. You must believe me.
Nothing but drunk, retarded kids singing karaoke.
That's the phrase of the day right there. Drunk, retarded kids singing karaoke.
I liked NBA for fat people.
Well, you know. But see, then the other thing I was saying too, Rick, is...
I wish I was dead, yes?
Would you actually really want to know anybody that bought a J-Lo or a Celine Dion CD?
No, I suppose not. I'm just saying.
So, yeah.
All right, I have to go now.
Have a grand day.
Yeah, thank you. I'll try to do that.
Well, this has certainly struck a nerve with the public, hasn't it?
Look how relatable we are. I'm just saying that I'm just saying that we're a fan of quality music on this show.
Mm.
And we are a fan of, we're a fan of things that...
Celine Dion.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying right there. That's the only point I'm trying to... Thank you.
Oh, I don't like this one.
This doesn't have the subtle charm of the other one. We're going to take a break. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, Tim Riley, City Desk, top 5 songs most likely to get stuck in your head. This one doesn't count, but this is the reason we're doing it. All right. You know, these calls, it's just like a red tide of discord, these calls coming in. We'll be back after this, kids. It's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. It's AM970 Solid State Radio. Stay right there. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. Subject line of this email. Star Wars. Rick. Here is one other way George Lucas has robbed my childhood. My parents named our two basset hounds Princess Leia and Han Solo. I thought you'd like to hear that. Thank you. F. Matt with the inevitable remasters of Indiana Jones. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Like us at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Let's see. What else? Oh, you know, I got to read that. Where the hell did I put it? Sitting on it. Where did I put the eyelid story? I got a follow-up on the girl who got her eyelid caught in her zipper.
Hold on, let me look. I may have fallen onto the floor. Wait. No. No. Well, it's somewhere. I'll find it.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend.
Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here?
From Barfly Magazine. Jen Lane.
Hello.
Amazonian drink queen of Portland. How are you?
I'm good.
All right, here we go. I got this. Subject line, eyelid stuck in zipper. Rick, I have news on the little girl who got her eyelid stuck in her zipper. This was the girl who was, she was at school. She was taking off her sweatshirt. Wham! Ow! Like that. Nothing interesting, I'm afraid. She went to the emergency room and they apparently just took the sweater right off. No stitches, no eyelid cutting, no tearing. It seems like if you get your eyelid stuck in a zipper, you'd have some horrible disfiguration, but sadly none here. Just a small welt. I still haven't gotten her to tell me how it happened. I will work on that. There you go. Thank you. That is from Troy, super genius and dude of destiny. It's 503-733-2970. Jen Lane, how are you today? You are, now can I tell, can I give the description that you gave us?
Sure.
I asked Jen how she was and she said, I'm drunk and unintelligible. No, hungover and unintelligible?
I said hungover and inarticulate.
Inarticulate. There you go. So it's going to be a fantastic guest spot from you today. All right. Well,
that means that our thing went well last night at Sabalas. It went very well, yeah.
And so we have to just...
Yeah, the cat house rocks.
Not to get sidetracked here, but we do have to say this. It is now 2:32 and we have not yet mentioned the fact that at 11:40, up until just a couple minutes before the show today, we were convinced that Ron Jeremy was dead.
Yeah, it's on...
Yeah,
it's on the website. Wikipedia entry. Somebody had, like, screwed with it to say that he was dead and that he had died today. And so Sarah came, like, tearing down the hallway because there's nothing quite as thrilling as dead celebrities. It's
especially
just when,
ones you've met.
Exactly.
And especially when they die right before the show. Then it's like God reached down and gave it right to us. You know what I mean?
On MySpace, I have our picture with Ron Jeremy up.
Yeah, it's good times. And so it's like you know, when it's like 11:55, it just comes before the show and I open Yahoo and it's like, blah, 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 dead at 56. And it's like the lower the number, too. You know, blah, blah, blah. Dead at 22. Then, you know, it's fantastic.
Lower the number, the higher the excitement.
That's what I'm saying. And so I was equal parts sad that it wasn't true because, you know, we weren't able to talk about it. But then glad that it wasn't true because you want Ron Jeremy to die. You want Ron Jeremy to live forever.
Yeah.
With medical technology, he could be having sex with skanky women way into his, like, 90s, I would imagine, which is fantastic.
That's beautiful.
Well, okay. Okay. Well, we were going to do the news and so forth, top five. Sarah, we have the city dash to get to one more time, and we have the top five. And what else? What do you think we should, what should we do here?
I think, well, let's do the top. We just welcomed Jen on, and, you know, Tim just left. I say let's do the top five.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's roll it. Here's your, and I can go ahead and do this. Here's your top five, for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Three,
I will play these from over
two,
here.
Two, one, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count,
all right.
Don't you?
I will read the top five as though I were Tim Riley. You know them, you hate them, but you can't stop humming them. These are the top five songs most likely to get stuck in your head, according to Modern Science Magazine. This is all because of... You can go ahead and bring the bed down. This is all because of this song. Jen, were you here last week when we started playing this? Were you here when...
Yes, I was here last week.
Oh, and I don't... Oh, and see, now the website's down. The site is down. With the girl swinging the... the, I'm sorry, that was me. With the, I was leaning on the button. With the girl swinging the leak, which
no.
I know sounds like code for something, but you, the, with the, you know, the blah, 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 it's gone. I don't know where it went. Oh, all I have now is the remix.
I was listening to this yesterday. I mean, I heard this yesterday, but I don't remember it from last week.
You don't know what?
I don't remember it from last week, but I missed the first hour of this.
Well, this is, yeah. This is one of many remixes
so
of this song. It's a Finnish song. It's apparently a song from 1930. That's what we've discovered. It's a song from Finland. 1930, and this is one of many remixes. So it is because of this song that we are doing these. The top five songs, Jesus God, the top five songs most likely to get stuck in your head as compiled by Modern Science Magazine, with honorable mention going to, and these are horrible versions of these songs, by the way.
Oh, God.
This is the Dance Dance Revolution version. It's a small world after all.
You know, I think this is the wrong show to come on with a serious hangover.
This will make you want to kill yourself. This is like when you go on that ride, which... This is another Finnish guy. This is like when you go on that ride, which you realize is a mistake about a third of the way in. You go on that Small World ride, and man, it's like you're there, and you're about 5 minutes into that, and you go, this was a terrible... Michael, I made a terrible mistake. Because you know... You don't want to sing it. You don't want it in your head. You don't want to be humming it. And yet, there it is.
I wonder how irritating Finnish Idol is.
All right. Top five songs most likely to get stuck in your head. This, by the way, is the worst song ever recorded.
This just reminds me of Ace Ventura now.
The Lion Sleeps Tonight by the Tokens. I hate this song with everything in me. If I could go back and drown this band as children, I would gladly do it. I would cherish every glug. I know, I wouldn't feel bad. I'd be doing a service. It's wrong to kill other people, of course. But
I would cherish every glove.
I would. Listen to this. I used to be an oldies DJ, man, and it's like... This is the kind of song that is... It has the, you know, the ironic effect of... It just makes you angry. And it makes you weep openly.
That's how the Bee Gees make me feel.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
The Bee Gees make
really?
You feel angry?
Yeah.
Do they make you feel dirty?
Huh. All their songs?
No, not all. Ah, just his voice. I don't know.
Is it Barry Gibb? Is it the helium voice?
Yes.
Yeah. Listen to this. The past sucks. This is what they used to have to listen to kids when they wanted to be rebellious. Let's go to the Tasty Freeze and listen to the Tokens. Woo! You know, right before you go see Harrison Ford flip his car in a drag race. All right. Wasn't this in American Graffiti? I think it was.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, the past is terrible. These are the top five songs most likely to get stuck in your head, according to Modern Science Magazine. This is one of those songs, YMCA by the Village People. I no longer even know how I feel about this song. It's just, it's become less a song that, it's less a song than it really is, sort of just a cultural totem at this point. Maybe it's a good song, maybe it's not. I can't even tell anymore. Young man, there's no need to feel down. This is a song that's impossible to make fun of, though, because it's just so ludicrous to begin with. It's like making fun of Gilligan's Island. There's just, what are you going to do? They're the Village People. They're here. They're queer. What are you going to do? Unhappy young man. There's a place you can go. I said, young man, when you're short on your dough, okay. You can't stay there. No observations? And I'm
sure you will find nope.
Okay. I got to let it go to the hook. It's fun to stay at the you know, here's the one great thing about the Village People. Is that because of the Village People, there was all kinds of gay innuendo injected into mainstream culture to people who had no idea what they were listening to. No clue. All right. It's like when you see Paul Lind on old 60s sitcoms.
I was just going to
really?
Say that.
Really? You were going to talk about Paul Lind?
I was. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Kismet is what that is. We're kindred spirits.
Synergy.
No, it's... All right. These are the top five songs most likely to get stuck in your head, according to Modern Science Magazine. Number three, the Mission Impossible theme. I disagree with this list, by the way. I've never once gotten this song stuck in my head.
Yeah.
You know what should be on
here?
That's
your probably a plant for the new Mission Impossible movie.
It is a Scientologist.
This entry brought to you by Xenu. Yeah, this is a crack list. Top five songs most likely to get stuck in your head, according to Modern Science Magazine. Number two. I can see that. Maybe. We Will Rock You by Queen. Eh, maybe a little bit. You know what should be on here is Tom's Diner. That goddamn Suzanne Vega song. You know Tom's Diner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You got mud on your face. Yeah, this song is one of this is probably a British list. The British aren't like us. The British have got small potato-rotted brains, I think. All right. Any guesses about number one? Anyone?
I've seen the list.
Song most likely... Oh, never mind that. Song most likely to get stuck in your head, according to Modern Science Magazine. Wait for it.
The list seems dated. Yeah.
I swear to God. I didn't create the list, but I mean, it's like, what has come out since this list that would really top this though?
I have one.
Like I have a top five suggestion for you.
Oh wait, hold on.
I have one. Wait. We built
this Starbucks. Thank you. There you go. What is your top five suggestion?
Top five game show themes.
Top five game show themes. Ooh. Have we done that?
I don't think so.
I'm thinking tic tac toe.
Yeah, and, you know, The Wheel of Fortune is always classic for me. And Family Feud.
And Jeopardy. Is that music from Jeopardy? The thinking music?
I think so. I think Merv Griffin wrote it.
Really? It was written for Jeopardy. It wasn't like an extant piece of music that they used. I'm asking you, like you
Merv
know.
Merv Griffin is, like, famous for writing his own theme songs.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
He was just on the Tonight Show recently, and like when he walked out, they played one of his scenes. He's like, "I just made $238."
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, Jen Lane, I'll do that top five next Thursday. Top five game show themes. Oh, I missed the meat knee deep in the mocha line.
Awful.
Everybody now. In the green apron book. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You built this Starbucks. You built this Starbucks on heart. Take a break here. We'll be back. It burns. Don't go anywhere. We will return after this. 503-733-2970. It's AM 970. Solid State Radio. Stay right there. Someone's always... He's all from the hood and whatnot. You know, the real Swayze is going to be doing rap. Yeah. She's Like the Wind, hip-hop version. Yeah. All right, see, Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up next, Lycus, world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7 tomorrow. Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio .com will be here. And stuff. And another one. I realize that we forgot to ask Jen Lane about American Idol. Jen Lane? American Idol?
Thumbs down.
Okay, there you go.
Well, it's over anyway.
And I don't think, frankly, I think if we kept talking about it, I think there's large sections of the audience that would just fall over dead. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the city desk news beat. Tim Riley reporting. A high school senior from Volusia County, Florida.
I was unprepared for the whole with the...
Florida.
And there we go.
Surrendered to police in connection with an armed robbery of a McDonald's. They say Janie Fordham was 18. She robbed a McDonald's in Port Orange
Investigators say the robbery was committed just before she was to receive her diploma during graduation ceremony.
Yeah, it's good to go out with a bang. And you noted this morning that we're now entering the graduation stunts gone horribly wrong window for the year. So look for a lot of maimings, one guy deciding to violate someone else with some sort of object, holding somebody else up at gunpoint.
Two Dallas teenagers facing felony charges for allegedly delivering a batch of tainted muffins to a teacher's lounge.
District is very pleased that the FBI, the Dallas Police Department, Board of Health, were able to track down the individuals responsible, and we're looking forward to bringing this event to closure.
You know, when you were a kid and the teacher's lounge was the most mysterious, fascinating place on earth, it's like and it always seemed like this glorious paradise where there were no rules and, you know, anything went. And then, like, you saw it later, like if you were a senior or something, and you had to, like, deliver a note, and it's just, like, a terrible room with, like, a broken sofa and a vending machine that just, like, one bottle of Fanta. That's totally what he does. A bunch of National Geographics and a teacher in there desperately wishing that he'd gone to, you know, into a different profession. So.
Well, about a third of the senior class at a Texas high school may not be allowed to attend graduation after a lunchtime food fight in the school cafeteria.
Cafeteria food, whole trays, milk, water bottles, bananas, bread, chicken fingers, everything.
Pine nut,
chicken strip,
filbert nut, walnut nut.
Walnut nut.
Wasn't that Christopher Guest in the Best in Show? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's doing the hazelnut.
Oh, I was thinking of Forrest Gump. I was listing the different kinds of shrimp.
Oh, yeah. I went one way, and then I thought you were going to go the same way, but you went a whole different way with it. There you go.
Because he's like chicken fingers, chicken legs.
I would like everybody now to bow down, bitches, before the Rick Emerson Show. Listen to how simultaneously we did two different pop culture references. Yeah.
Who says we're not hip?
Everybody who's not us sucks. Turn it up. There you go.
Mexican President Vicente Fox continues to say how great of a country Mexico is. He's doing everything in his power to keep his countrymen on his side of the border.
Cafeteria food, trays, milk, water bottles, bananas, bread, chicken fingers, everything.
That is probably not
going to be a good
Fox.
Closing comment.
I'm sorry, let me...
Mexico stands to be part of the solution, part of the problem. Comprehensive reform will help both countries to concentrate our efforts and resources on addressing our shared security and prosperity concerns.
Is Vicente Fox a supervillain?
Scary.
I'm unclean.
He's highly edited, according to that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he's hot, too.
He's hot? He is a swarthy Latin lover, apparently, according to Jen Lane. All right, there you go.
And now back to last night's critical announcement of who won American Idol with Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, the winner of American Idol Season 5 is Taylor Hicks!
That music so much.
Seriously.
And now the most bizarre incident of the evening, Prince singing his tune, Lolita.
Only Prince could sing a song called Lolita, by the way, and not be pelted with garbage.
Mm-hmm. Man.
This is a terrible song. God, I'm sorry, Prince.
This is something out of Meatloaf.
You know, I will say this.
No Meatloaf.
No, we don't have any. No, it was awful. And again, you know that I love Meatloaf. You know, you and I share that. It's a bond we have. But Meatloaf was terrible last night. He sucked. Because he's, look.
He was profusely sweaty.
It was all over sweat too. It was like you could hear the squishing as he's just sort of, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Meatloaf. And he's like, as he was walking. And I mean, it was like they'd rolled him in some sort of glycerin product or something. He was terrible, and he was just sort of a, you know.
Did he cut off all of his hair? Was it still kind of long?
Yeah, it was still. He looked. It was like Fight Club Meatloaf.
Okay.
But he was all over. And then again, Meatloaf in his day, and I know your time comes for us all. But in his day, Meatloaf was a fantastic singer. I don't care what anybody thinks. He was a great singer, made one of the all-time great records, a couple of real strong follow-up singles in the years that they followed. But he's like 60, and he just can't sing anymore, and it pains me to say.
Well, he needs knee and hip replacements, obviously.
and he was waddling like Vito on The Sopranos. He had that spot of four waddle, like you expect. Meatloaf, and he's kind of doing that thing where he's it's like he's walking with his hips. It was like a sort of like this.
Oh.
And he kept expecting, like, wah, wah, Batman, wah, wah. You know, it was like a terrible sort of... It was sad, man. I will say this. The Prince song sucked. It wasn't any good.
No.
It was like a bad knockoff of Delirious, for one thing. But I will say the great thing about Prince is he didn't let Ryan Seacrest touch him or get near him. It's like Ryan, and you could tell Seacrest comes out and he's like, oh, Ryan Seacrest, I'm not gay! You know, and he's like proving that he's like running to stand next to Prince, and Prince like finishes the song, like drops the microphone, turns, and like walks off. And it was a terrible song, but Prince has that sort of like, Prince is one of those guys who I think it is like a physical impossibility for him not to be cool. Like, I can't imagine.
It looks like Prince hit the light switch and turn off the lights so Ryan Seacrest couldn't find him.
Yeah, and it's like, and then he just walked up. He's 3 feet high, dressed in purple. He looks like a Guatemalan pimp, but it's like he's so cool. It's like Prince could be in a clown suit at a Chick-fil-A, like refilling like a soda machine, and he would still just be the badassest guy on the planet. I don't know, man. I don't know what it is about that guy. He's just so fundamentally great that there's nothing he can do about it. Anyway, blah, 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 Prince.
Blah, 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 that's all the news.
Well, all right, there you go.
Okay, Jen Lane.
Jen Lane, come on back. Just a whole lot of weirdness today.
Thank you, Tim Riley.
Oh, right. You're welcome.
When do you get your new studio?
Tim's just like on his way out the door. Pardon me?
When do you get your new studio?
Any day now.
I thought they were adding a wing for you.
Well, they are actually. There's actually another room they're working on. It won't be so much us as it will be Tim.
And not so much a wing as it is, you know, near us. It's right down the hall.
It's a tiny studio that's like 400 yards away.
We won't be able to see each other.
That's weird.
Darkened. Rick. I heard something on Channel 12 that OMSI will be having a Star Wars exhibit sometime in late summer, early fall. I did not hear the exact time or date. Just wanted to let you know. Thank you. I appreciate that. How long do we have here?
2 minutes.
All right. Do we have the... Where did I put my coin news? Do we have the... You have the coin watch, Ben?
No.
We have the... It's the buddy. Can you...
oh, Ben? Yeah.
All right. I wanted to... Should I not be reading this?
I don't...
Does it cause awkwardness for you? Peter Carlin has been doing a 5-part series about our...
There's something wrong with that.
About our brethren at coin.
Buddy, can you spare...
This is part 4 of a 5-part series, As the Coin Turns, written by Peter Carlin. Again, we are reading choice phrases from this article. The company's woes included a 25% staff cut, computer-driven studio controls that tend to crash in mid-broadcast, and a corporate culture so parsimonious that checks were mailed every other week to reduce costs. A tale of ravenous corporate greed, ignoring the public good for the sake of the bottom line. Virtually every industry watch story I've written in the past 5 years revolves around one station or another having its budget sliced, employees diced, and otherwise being steered away from the actual purpose of quality broadcasting. Thinning out the product by spreading people thinner. At the Coin Tower, anxieties are ramping up. Rumors are picking up that new owners SJO will jettison Coin's news department altogether. I've been told by one recent top manager that things will get far worse for Coin employees. These days, I wonder if the owners even have any shame. There you go. Here's your coin watch.
I'm afraid to play this.
That's okay. What were you holding a note up for me?
Jen, we've had her on as a guest. She's been on like 2 minutes.
Yeah, are you sure you want me to come in for the full hour?
I was trying to take the load off because you were feeling unintelligible.
I said I was inarticulate, and I think I've warmed up a little bit.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I was trying to take the load off.
Thanks, man.
Whore away.
What do I have to whore? I've got Stripperama on Saturday, June 17th. And Barfly's anniversary party is coming up a week from this Sunday at Sabala's on June 4th.
That is where that fantastic picture of us was taken.
That's awesome. It's going to star Luminous Fog, the Stan McMahon Band, Howling the Hot Knives, and other acts. We announced free barbecue. It's free to the public. 6 p.m. Sabala's.
And Howling the Hot Knives is June great. 4th. So barflymag.com.
I mean, it's going to be Sunday, June 4th. Maybe I'm still inarticulate.
Barflymag.com. And we're big fans of Howling the Hot Knives, right?
Yeah, they're great. All the bands are terrific. I'm really excited.
All right. Thank you, Jen Lane.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was trying to help you out.
Yeah, whatever. I know you're the star, man. I'll do whatever you say.
All right, blah, 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 Rick, Tim, Sarah, blah, 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 bastard, blah, blah, 21 hours, blah, blah, blah,
Barfly like
blah, 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 barflymag.com. See you tomorrow. Bye.
cafeteria food, whole trays, milk, water bottles, bananas.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.